instead of jumping up and going, "Woohoo! Preacher just gave me a solution. Don't make sense to me, but man, it's a solution anyhow."
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul.
Come on.
Yeah. Said, "Go get some pots." So they went and they borrowed a bunch of pots and brought them in. And finally she said, "Okay, there ain't no more pots." I guarantee you, if she knew what was about fixing to happen, she would have went even further and got a few more pots. I guarantee you, she would have gotten some more pots. She would have found. She would have said, "Hey, you guys, go out there and kick over the cow trough and bring that in. We can put water back in it later, but we're going to fill..." Come on, listen, we're going to fill that up with oil later, or we're going to fill it up with water later. I guarantee you she would have said, "You know what, I know you got water in that pot right now, but I'm going to bring it back and I'm going to put oil in it, and it's going to be worth a whole lot more than that water."
Yeah.
She would have told her neighbors, "Okay, you had that pot, but what's in that one? Is there anything in that one? Yeah, there's some flour in that. Dump it out on the table. I'll bring back some oil."
Right.
If she only knew.
Right.
She would have done a whole lot more. I can see myself kicking over the camel trough and saying, we'll put water back in that later. Huh? I'm going to drag that over to the house. And then whoever wants it can drag it back out. Say, "Hey, creditor, come here and grab this 50-gallon barrel."
Right.
That's more than enough to pay the debt.
Huh? Yeah. Right.
Because she would have known what would happen. But I think she still stopped at probably shorter than what she should have. But when she stopped, the oil stopped.
Right.
Amen. When you stop, the oil's going to stop. When you stop, the blessing's going to stop. But as long as you keep putting it in His hand, as long as you keep trusting God, as long as you keep on putting it in the Master's hand, He can keep on filling up and filling. And filling up and filling up and filling
up. Amen.
Wow, I preached like 3 pages and I didn't even know it. Yeah. That's only 3 of 13. Once again, just shortly, that woman. She only focused on what she didn't have instead of what she had. Often we are consumed by our lack and we never think about what we do have. The fact of the matter is this morning is that every one of us is lacking in some way.
Right.
None of us are perfect.
Right.
We all have weaknesses.
Yes.
Right.
And
yes.
Problems.
Yes.
Amen.
Tuesday night, I was praying here in the sanctuary with everyone, and I was reminded of, no, not that one. I want to go to the scripture. I was reminded when Solomon came to the throne. And it said there in 1 Kings chapter number 3, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude." He says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies." You haven't asked for revenge. "Nor, but hast asked for thyself understanding and discernment, to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was nothing like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. And he goes on. Solomon realized the frailty of who he was and the job and the task that was at hand. And as I was praying the other night, and this goes along with what I'm preaching even here this morning, I realized my lack. And I thought, God, if you could only just give me understanding, give me wisdom, help me here. I understand I only have so much, but what I do have, God, I want to put it in your hands. Do you realize this morning that in all of our frailty and all of our weakness, that's all God really wants? Sometimes we got it so twisted up in our mind that God wants all of our greatness.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to come up short there. Come on now. He wants all of our righteousness. Well, guess what? My righteousness only gets as good as filthy rags.
Right.
Right. Amen.
So that's all I've really got. God's not interested in your greatness and your accolades and all of your things behind your name or even what's in front of your name. He's not interested in all that. And that's the problem with most people is they want to be recognized. They want to be somebody when it's not time for them to be somebody. But let God. And there was Solomon. Read before, it's amazing how Solomon, there was already a coup going on, if you will. And that, I believe it was Adonijah that was, I think that was the right one, that was already being set up to be king, and they were already partying and having a good time, having a party, as Adonijah, I believe that was the one, was going to be king. And then there were some things that David heard about through the mouth of the prophet. And he talked to his wife. And his wife came in and talked to him. And so on and so forth. And then Solomon was put in. Solomon. It really wasn't a lot of fanfare as Solomon got put in when you really look at it. There wasn't a lot of it. It was really kind of odd.
Right.
And it's almost like Solomon was like, I'm not ready for this job. And God said, good. That's the way I like it. But some of us are too ready. Some of us are too ready in our own mind. We're too ready in our own ability. We're too ready in our own smart. We think we've got the answer. We've got it all together. Instead of really realizing who we are. Now I'm not talking about thinking. Some of y'all don't have a problem thinking about negative thoughts about yourself. Okay? Some of y'all don't have that problem. You already think low enough of yourself. So I've got to preach to you and get you up. And those of you who think already too high of yourself, I've got to get you down. So it's kind of a duck juggling act.
Yes, sir.
Some of you in this church, I've got to build you up and say, no, you can't think like that. Then I go over here and I talk to somebody else. You know what? Get off my high horse. I'm going to knock you off your high horse.
Right.
Come on. It just brings balance to us all.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Right.
And so with this, we cannot be so focused on what we don't have that we miss recognizing and appreciating and using what we do have. What are we really lacking here today? What are you lacking today from really becoming the miracle that God is intended for you to be? What are you really lacking? So, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. What do you have? See, you already thought of the negative. What do you have? Well, I don't have much, but I do have this. And God, if you can use that, we'll just see what happens. So 5,000 men sat down. Jesus took bread and fish in his hands. out of the lad's hands and into the master's hands. He gave thanks for what he did have. And then he began to bless it and break it. And then in verse 12 said, and when they were all still starving. When they were all filled, everybody just had Thanksgiving, and it was just fish and bread, and they were stuffed to the gills. They were rolling around on the ground going, oh, I can't eat another bite. They thought it was their last meal. They're rolling around holding their stomachs going, man, that was the best fish fry I've ever had in my life. It probably was just stale old bread that that little boy brought, but it tasted like fresh yeast rolls. I wonder if they were hot. I just wonder how good that meal tasted after Jesus. I wonder if that lad sunk his teeth into that fish and that bread and said, man, mama's fish and bread was really good last night, and this was leftovers, but this is better than what it was when it was fresh last night.
Yep. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, fine. Don't feel that way. I feel that way. I think he made leftovers taste a lot better than mama did it.
Yep.
Right.
Sure. Now, I ain't dissing on mama's cooking. Mama's cooking was great, but man, when Jesus gets a hold of it,
that's
it's
right.
Man.
That's right.
Right. I want you to think about that. And then after that, he gathered up the fragments. And I'm going to slowly bring this to a close. He gathers up the fragments that remained so that nothing was lost. And there was 12 baskets. There's 12 baskets full. How much leftovers does God want to not only bless your life, but give you more than enough? More than enough. So may I say to you this morning, put your concerns, your worries, your fears. And that's the negative. I got to bring over here. And your hopes, your dreams, those families, the relationships, all of those things. Can you put those all in the hands of God? What are you fearful of today? What are you concerned about today? What are you worried about today? What are you hopeful for? What's your dream? You're trying to put it all together. You're trying to make it all happen. Are you trying to make it happen? Because if you're going to make it happen, it's going to go on the slow track.
Right.
But if you take your hopes and your dreams and you say, okay, God, I'm putting it in your hands, you put it on fast track. Say, well, and I can remember the day when there was a lot of concern about my wife and I's life, and I even questioned, or not really questioned God, but I said, God, if you're in this, you can do this in 6 months.
Remember that, baby?
That's crazy. I look back at that day and I go, man, what were you thinking, you dummy? And then I said, well, God, if you're really in it, you can do it in 3 months. And then we prayed a little bit longer. I think we got it down to like, 3 weeks or something like that. So, okay, God, if you're really in this, you can do this in a couple of weeks. And and it was like the next day or 2 days later, we got a phone call, wasn't it? I think we got it down. I think we whittled God down to 3 weeks. Okay, God, if you're really God, you can do this in 3 weeks. Down from 6 months. I mean, man, that's faith. I know all y'all got way more faith than I do, but that was faith for me. 6 months, down to 3 months, down to 3 weeks. You know, we're doing really good. God's doing good now. He's really in control. I think God can maybe manage this situation. And then I get a phone call like 48 hours later that blew us away. And I got off the phone and said, do you believe this? It's almost like I said, I can't believe he did it in less than 3 weeks. It's like, really? You dummy. Now I look back on it now. Now when I was there, that's a big deal to me. And
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
That's a big deal to me. But when I really decided, God, I'm going to put this in your hands and I'm going to leave it there. I ain't going to take it back. Right. Then God had me some bartering because I knew my weaknesses. I knew my frailty. I knew I couldn't do it myself. I knew all my inabilities. But when I finally said, okay, God, this is you. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Then God wowed me. And I'll never forget that day. And now I go back and I go, man, I wish I would have said something a little bit more extravagant. Man, what could have got me? Because I feel like that lady. I thought, man, if I would have just really let God, if I just really would have put this in his hand, if I wouldn't have been so doubtful, if I wouldn't have been so hesitant, what could God have really done?
Right.
And I want to know in your life, what could God really do in your life? Such a large need, such a little offering, but what a limitless God. God is not restricted by our circumstances. For with Moses, he rolled back a Red Sea as if it was a blanket. No big deal. He transformed ordinary water into the most flavorful wine. To save face for a wedding party that wasn't properly prepared. The laws of earth are subject to his command. His powers are subject to his command. Everything. All hell trembles in his presence. His authority over sickness is limitless. His knowledge is infinite. You see here this morning, say to God, faith looks at potential. Unbelief only sees obstacles. And there's some of us here today that some of us are standing there desirous and looking at the potential. But there are others of us that only can see the obstacles. And let me tell you today that that is only unbelief.
Right.
And we have great example of the Word of God of what happened to an entire nation that was filled with unbelief. They were kept out of a promised land. They didn't receive all that God had in store simply because they did not believe God. Jesus did not ask what the disciples didn't have. He asked them what they did have. And let me remind you, God hasn't changed his method. He's still asking somebody to know. What do you have? Is your response this morning, nothing? I ain't got nothing. If it is, you'll leave with nothing. Say, well, if all I got is brokenness.
Don't be a smart aleck, Pastor.
All I got is brokenness and pain.
Perfect. God can work with that.
Right.
Amen.
What? Yeah, that's what God wants to work with.
He wants to work with what you do have.
Right.
Even if it's broken.
Right.
Even if it's pain. Doesn't matter what it is. He'll work with what you do have. He asked the disciples what they had to offer. He asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? They may have started out with just a small sack lunch, but they put it in the hands of a limitless, almighty, all-providing God that could supply. We may feel like our prayers before service don't get much accomplished. But put it in the hands of a limitless God. I put that in there today because I didn't feel that the prayer service was really where I wanted it to be. But I said, God, it is what it is. Here it is. Now, that's not to give us an excuse not to try harder, not to push a little bit more, not to strive.
Right.
But it is to get us to the place where we say, sometimes, there's those days we just don't feel like we got much. But if we'll put it in God's hands, we may feel like our limited praise doesn't move heaven very much. And I know, I understand being up here, and Brother Miles up here this morning, and I can see the struggle of faith because it looked like there was a disconnect that was right here. He's trying to sing and trying to, and I look back and most of us are just standing there. There was a disconnect. Oh yeah, the songs were being sung. Songs were hearing the mouth and the word, but we weren't thinking about what they were saying.
Let's be real.
Yeah, we saw them, and I understand sometimes a little bit of new stuff that kind of gets us a little bit sidetracked. But shouldn't sidetrack us that much of who we're worshiping?
Yeah, right.
Say, well, this limited amount of praise and worship that's going up, and God, this is what I got. Well, it wasn't much while they were sitting in jail. In stocks and bonds.
Yeah.
Hey, guy. What do you say? We sing a song. Well, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving. And they're in stocks. That's what we are. This is really tight, you know. We ought to thank Him.
Imagine us just starting singing praises.
They ain't got much. We're in stocks and bonds. We're all beat up. We're battered. My body's hurting. It's bloody. It's bruised. I'm all banged up. But hey, let's have a worship service right now. Even if we got to croak it out.
Right. Amen. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Hey, Zai, did you feel that shaking? Let's sing a little louder. Whoa, did you feel that? There it is again. Because something happened with their limited praise.
Right.
It started not only moving heaven, but it started moving earth. So sometimes you say, well, I ain't got much in the praise realm, but I'm going to do it anyhow. All right, I can take that and I can do something with that limited praise, and I can start shaking the foundations of heaven and of earth. I'll get something moving. You just put that in my hands, and I'll make something happen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. We may feel like don't get me wrong, our pennies are powerless compared to the awesome need that is at hand. When it comes to providing for the church and the kingdom of God, but we just keep putting it in the hands of a limitless God. And somehow those needs are met and exceeded. Somehow God begins to multiply. How many times have we felt like our witness was so shallow and so weak and so lacking? And we even thought to ourselves, how am I ever going to change the world? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. One person at a time. As weak, as lacking as it may feel to you, you just do it.
But Pastor, I feel like I'm going to hyperventilate when I start talking about Jesus to somebody.
Then hyperventilate. Just don't pass out. and see what God can do. See how he might be able to multiply it. And maybe you just might be the one that says, okay, God, even in my frailty, even in my lack and my inability, I'm going to do this. You just might be the one that turns your world upside down.
Right. Amen.
Putting anything in the hands of a limitless God. And when he's done with it, he will always meet and exceed. All God's looking for is something to use. He's waiting on you to bring him what you have. It's interesting to know that none of the other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, they mention this story, but none of the three writers mention the little lad. I found that fascinating. Because for some reason, Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't think that the lad had any significance. But John saw the importance. I think that's way cool. I think that's way cool. Because John was getting the point across in such a fabulous way where all the other writers missed the little lad. You see, he understood the importance of the people that feel insignificant. People that feel insignificant, not worthy, don't have it all together. He understood the value of that little no-name lad. Because some of us feel like that no-name lad. And it's all I got. It's just this little bit. And if you'll take that little bit and you'll put it in the Master's hand, what kind of story might be told of a little lady? And I didn't say old lady, but if you are an old lady, that old guy, that old man, that young man, no name, but there was faith that rose in that man's heart, in that lady's heart, and that there was faith that rose in their heart, and they took what they had and they put it in God's hands. I believe this morning that there's some of us that even though we are quote unquote living for God, we have not put it in his hands. And even though I gave to you this morning some physical examples of a basketball, of a baseball bat, all of those are so insignificant, are so worthless. What could God do? You say, well, I understand this. I understand this because I was a young man not too long ago. I know it seems like a long time, but it wasn't. And I remember having dreams and aspirations, but yet feeling like I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But I remember some messages that were preached along the way that built faith in my heart and said, okay, I can do this. God, if you'll help me. God, if you'll help me in this, I can do this. I can make it. I wasn't perfect as a young man. I struggled as a young man. But I remember those times. The preacher would preach, and especially on stories just like this, when he would talk about a young lad, and I thought, God, if you can do it for him, you can do it for me. And what would always ring through my mind is the fact that God said, I'm not a respecter of persons. So I'm not gonna be no more God to that little lad. than I am to you. I'm not going to be any more powerful to David than I am you. I'll be just as much God as you want me to be. Because I don't respect any person above another person. But what I do respect is your desire. What I am looking for is what you're willing to give me. What do you have? What do you have? See, I don't want to just see a miracle. I want to see the process that led to the miracle. And that's why it was so important for John to put the lad in there. There was a process. And it began with a little no-name boy that didn't have much. But he gave what he had. Are you willing to give what you have this morning?